This is Evolutionary Radio. This is your host, Trevor Caritzen. As always, Steve Smee is joining me.
Hey, guys. What's up? It's way past my bedtime. We're doing this podcast, but we have a really special guest on tonight.
Joining us today is Dylan Armbrust. So Dylan Armbrust is a name you might not have heard of before. But Dylan, the reason I want to get you on the show is you're an extremely good prep coach, particularly when it comes to females. And I feel like there's so much misinformation when it comes to prepping and bodybuilding and all that sort of stuff. But especially when it comes to females, there's even more misinformation. So that's part of the reason I want to get you on the show. So welcome to the show, Dylan.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
So before we get into all of that, you own Armbrust Pro Gym, which is one of the best gyms in the world, definitely in North America. What got you into bodybuilding? What made you decide to open up a gym? Like, how did this all start for you?
Well, I started bodybuilding back in the 80s, so that tells you how old I am. Back in the 80s, there was a lot of action films. I was Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger. So I come from that era, so that's really kind of what inspired me to get into bodybuilding. And I started bodybuilding at the young age of 16, and I'm 47 now, so I've been doing it for 31 years.
Where is your gym at?
It's in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, which is right in between, probably 10 minutes west of Denver, right before you start going up into the mountains.
Okay, and then what kind of gym is it? Is it just like your typical meathead gym, or is it more like a Gold's Gym type of thing? Is it like a CrossFit gym?
Steve, Phil Heath trains at his gym. This isn't a Planet Fitness.
maybe it is. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your gym, basically, is my question.
Yeah, it's a little, I'd say it's like a Gold's Gym or, Steve's Gym out in, Bev Francis' powerhouse. It's kind of like a powerhouse Gold's Gym type gym.
So, Dylan, my question for you is, for someone who's been working out since the 80s, you've had to see it all, man. You've had to see the old guys using the hairdryer to dry their nuts. You've had to see the, like, what in your mind would make you want to open up your own gym? Do you just love training or?
I've always thought it would be cool to own a gym. I'm always in the gym. I love being in the gym. But in like the 2000s, you got these places like 24-Hour Fitness. You got all these big corporate gyms that really bring no atmosphere. So I got tired of working out in shitholes like that and decided, I wanted to open up a gym. And make it about, create an atmosphere, create some electricity, so people could really get inspired and work out.
Can you tell us a little bit about
Steve, can I just say one funny story first?
Yeah. Sure.
My great uncle, rest in peace, Uncle Manfred, if you're listening up in heaven, just giving you a shout out. I remember talking to him at the old folks home and he was so mad. He was the most laid back guy, but he was swearing and swearing because he went to the gym and they banned him because he was washing his underwear in the sink in the bathroom and they banned him. And he's like, who are they to tell me what I can and cannot do in the sink? And like for like half an hour, he was going on.
Yeah, that'd be kind of funny to walk in on, to tell you the truth. Yeah. I don't know how to handle that one.
I hate the old people who walk around like butt naked in the locker room. It's like, I don't want to see your old wrinkly ass. That's something that bugs me. Or the people who take shits in the bathroom, in the locker room, because they can't take a shit at home. They have to go and take a shit in the locker room. But what's it like owning a gym? I think it's one of those things. I think we all, as meatheads, we all want to own a gym. But I mean, from a financial standpoint, can you make a profit owning a gym?
You can open a gym, but you got to keep it clean. You got to keep it professional. You got to have some business sense. You got to have some good employees. So, you know, a lot has to go into it. You have to have other sources of income besides just membership nowadays, you know, like personal trainers, rent. You got to be able to sell supplements, apparel, you know, all those things. And all those things have to work successfully for you in order to, you know, make a good profit.
With having, you know, high caliber athletes like Phil Heath training at your gym, do you ever run into problems with weirdos buying drop-ins so they can try to creep Phil Heath? Or have you ever ran into issues like that?
Yeah, you get those. You know, you get people that, you know, are starstruck, you know, that come in the gym and, you know, they want to get autographs in the middle of workouts and stuff. So, you know, you just got to kind of tell them when they come in, you know, there's, you know, a lot of times they'll ask, you know, oh, is, you know, Phil here, or is, you know, we got a few other pros that train in there. We got actually quite a few pros that train in there. So we just ask them to be respectful of, you know, that the athletes' workouts, don't bug them until like they're done and stuff. So it's not too bad. Every once in a while you run into a situation, but it's, you know, it's not too bad at all.
I'm no Phil Heath, don't get me wrong, right? But I'm doing my master's in nutrition here at the university. So if I ever work out at the university gym, people are always coming up to me to bug me about nutrition questions, right? Someone will, you know, tap on my shoulder and be like, so is milk good for me? Or so like what is gluten? Like, I don't want to be a dick, right? Because I'm a friendly guy, but at the same time, I'm trying to work out. So what I'll do is I actually have like business cards in the fanny pack that I work out with, and I'll give them a card and be like, hey man, I'm just like focusing on my workout. Fire me a text in like 2 hours. I'll be more than happy to answer your question. I'm sure Phil does something similar. I'm sure he's like, hey man, I'm just focused on my workout. When I'm done, you know, like I'll be more than happy to take photos with you, sign autographs, whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. That's how he handles it. He handles it pretty good. You know, everybody pretty much knows now, you know, he'll have his headphones on and he's in his zone. So people really won't bother him until he's finished.
So do you, Dylan, like the life of a gym owner? I know my gym owner is a big meathead. I never see him working out at all, but I'm sure he does work out maybe after hours or something. How does that work with an owner? Is that something that you do like kind of after hours, or do you like to work out, you know, with your customers?
I get to the gym every morning about 6:30, and I start my workouts at 7, and I work out till 8, and then from 8 to 5, I train clients and work in the gym. So I get my workouts done first thing in the morning.
So a little bit of a segue here, Dylan. What got you into being a prep coach, in particular working with females? Because like it seems like most females would like to work with another female. I mean, you're one of the best. Like your ex-wife was second at the Mr. Olympia. I mean, you've prepped Candace Lewis. Like you've helped some of the biggest names in the industry. So how did you get into working with females?
Well, at first, you know, I had to learn a lot of stuff on trial and error, because we didn't have social media back then. There wasn't, you know, the internet, stuff like that. So I did a lot of studying just on nutrition and read my books, you know. And actually, when I was married, you know, a decade ago, and my wife was competing, that's, you know, she was one with all the talent. So pretty much had to learn and figure out how to get her ready, you know. And that's where I kind of specialize in women is, you know, I worked with my ex-wife long enough to where, you know, we got her to all the way to second in the world, even though she wasn't the world's best dieter. I just learned a lot about the female body, you know, being able to be married to somebody and work with them and figure out what's best. But, you know, every female's different. So with where I'm at now, that's what I've learned is, you know, male, female, everybody's different. And, you know, the same thing's not going to work for every person. So,
we're going to get into a lot of nutrition, but I have to ask this because I've dated women who are crazy about, you know, the gym, crazy athletic. And I've dated women who were not, who like never stepped foot in a gym. And ironically, I find it better to date someone who doesn't like going to the gym, because the people that go with me to the gym and like the gym, it's like we kind of butt heads. So was that your experience too in that situation, having, you know, a wife who was second at the Olympia and very successful in bodybuilding? Would that cause a conflict?
We never butt heads about, you know, working out or anything. It was other issues, but I find it quite the opposite. Dating, you know, they're let's face it, guys and girls that go to the gym, a lot of them are just crazy. You know, they're, you know, everybody's their own bit of crazy. But
Dylan, every woman is crazy, just on various levels.
That's the truth. That's the truth. I want to date a girl that, you know, I have something in common with, somebody that works out, somebody that takes care of themselves, but's not fucking crazy. So that's where I, you know, that's where I'm at with it all. I don't want to date somebody that doesn't want to work out. I don't want to date somebody that doesn't want to take care of themselves. It's just, you know, by the time you guys get my age, you'll figure out why, because you're going to end up with some fat slob.
You've been working out longer than I've been alive.
That's pretty sad, huh?
That's honestly, for me interviewing you, I find that impressive. You might find that depressing, but for me, I'm like, wow, that's sick. This guy's hardcore.
No, that's cool. Thanks. I appreciate it.
So Dylan, with your wealth of knowledge, for the listeners listening to this podcast, what are some of the mistakes that you see women competitors make time and time again?
Using way too much supplementation.
And by that, I don't think you're talking about protein powder and BCAAs.
No, we're not. You know, these girls nowadays are taking more drugs than men, you know, and at the beginner level, and they're not even like at national levels yet. So it's really sad to watch, because, you know, a lot of them are in their 20s and they're really just, you know, even you guys that, you know, in your 20s, there's so much more life, you know, there's so much more life ahead of you. And these girls literally just ruin their bodies, and then they got to live with them the rest of their lives.
I want you to get into specifics, Dylan, but this is something Steve and myself have talked about off air a lot, is that we'll see the cycle someone is giving a bikini competitor, like a bikini competitor, right? Like a bikini competitor really doesn't need drugs. I mean, this girl is like 18 or 19 and the coach has her on Clen, T3, Anavar, like all these different peptides. And it's like, this is for a bikini show. Like, are you looking at these competitors? Like, they've got a nice butt, a nice rack. And besides that, it doesn't really even look like they work out. Like, it's just, it's getting absurd. What are your thoughts on all this, Dylan?
No, I agree with you. The problem is, you know, a lot of coaches don't have experience out there. They know the power of these drugs and they think, well, you know, I can get her lean and, or I can, you know, whatever they think they're going to do. But what they don't realize is, you know, the anabolic properties of these drugs and what they do when they get in their bodies, besides build muscle. So they don't really study the full effects, and nor have they seen them because they don't have the experience. So, you know, it's not their body. They're just sitting there trying to get a win for their client or change their clients so they can get more business, when really they don't have any clue as what the fuck they're really doing.
So talk to us about some of the compounds you recommend for females and some that you would say females should stay away from.
You know, a bikini competitor, no compounds. You know, if you can't get yourself in shape without compounds as a bikini competitor, you probably are not very good at dieting. You really don't like the process in the first place. So, you know, if you're going to take a bunch of drugs to try to look hot, you're in the long run, you're just going to look disgusting because you're going to ruin your body. I would never put a woman on, you know, probably anything, but like Anavar, you know, that's, they make that stuff for kids. So a lot of it's, you know, time in the gym, nutrition, and, you know, most of it's genetic.
So Dylan, do you just deal with competitors, females, males, normal Joes? What is your clientele made of? Is it a mix of everything?
It's a mix of everything. You know, I actually like doing big transformations, bringing people down that, you know, are super fat. But, you know, in the bodybuilding world, I'm just known for training female clients. So I really don't work with competitors much anymore, just because they don't really have money to pay. And I'll work with competitors if I see them in the gym long enough, doing all the right things, working hard. But like you said, most of these clients come to you and, you know, I get clients and they're like, well, I don't want to work with you because you're not putting me on this or that. And I'm like, well, that's fine. You know, do what you got to do. Or, you know, they're really not interested in the passion of the sport, the process, going through the hard work, going through the diet, they want a magic pill. So, you know, I kind of, a lot of my clientele is just your normal everyday people that want a better quality of life. And, you know, I still love bodybuilding, so I'll coach an occasional competitor or two.
Yeah, we had our guest yesterday say something similar. He said a lot of his clients just want shortcuts. They don't want to really put in the time. So, you know, tell us a little bit about, like, let's say a lot of our listeners, 99% of our listeners actually don't compete. And I know Trevor used to compete. He's big into competition. But, you know, let's say an average Joe walks into your gym, either male or female, who let's say is overweight, because most Americans are, you know, do have that problem. What would be, you know, some golden nuggets for them that you would try to teach them when it comes to, you know, workouts, diet, et cetera, to kind of get them going in the right direction?
You know, 9 times out of 10, when somebody comes in, I just tell them to kind of tell me what their daily food schedule looks like. And most of the time you can fix a lot of what they're dealing with right there if they're able to do the diet and make the diet changes they need. Like, simply, so I've had people lose 50 pounds by just cutting out soda pops. I mean, it can get that simple, and just, you know, replacing soda pop with some kind of herbal tea or water throughout the day. And, you know, you don't have to put them on a bodybuilding diet. You just put them on kind of a low calorie diet and something that, you know, they can still have hamburger meat, or they can still do, you know, chicken, but it's not just grilled. You know, you can, there's a lot of, you know, the normal person can get away with a lot more just eating real foods instead of refined foods and fast food. You can, most of the time, that's how I make the transformations, is just having them cook at home and cutting out sugars.
Dylan, I love the fact that you said nutrition, because if you look at the statistics, Americans exercise more than any other country on the planet, but we're also the fattest country on the planet. And the biggest problem I see people make is they think they can exercise a bad diet. And how often do you hear someone say, like, oh, I ate 2 Snickers bars, it's okay, I'm going to go an extra 30 minutes on the treadmill or something like that. Like, that's the mindset we have here in North America, is that we can punish ourselves through exercise to make up for a bad diet, but it just doesn't work like that.
No, it doesn't work. And, you know, you can't blame the individual, because there's no education system in place. You know, their parents don't even know how to teach them. You know, and the school, look what the schools feed kids. There's no emphasis on nutrition in schools at all. So they grow up clueless. So when they come in the gym and you're looking at them all like, really, you eat this and that? And you know, they feel stupid, but they don't know any better. So you can't really blame them.
You know what you just said though, Dylan, that's the most intelligent thing I've heard on this podcast in a long time, because we have so many diet coaches come on here and I ask them, why is America fat? And they say, oh, we don't have personal responsibility. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's not actually true, because I see fat people in the gym all the time, busting their ass. I see them exercising, they're trying, but it's like, they're given this wrong information. Like, we see Michael Jordan eating a Big Mac in a commercial, and people think that that's what he actually eats. People think that you can, they see Peyton Manning drinking Gatorade in Gatorade commercials, and they think that Gatorade, it used to have high fructose corn syrup in it, that's okay. So it's like, we get this victim blaming thing by diet coaches, and they keep telling people, you know, that it's your fault. You're lazy. You're not losing weight because you're lazy. But really, they're telling them bullshit. And like you said, the education system teaches the food pyramid. It teaches all this bullshit. It teaches, you know, fat's bad for you, eggs are bad for you, all this stuff. And, you know, that's what kind of triggers me about diet coaches these days, is they don't want to, like, they want to blame the victim on this too much. So I'm really impressed by you saying that.
Thanks. Yeah, it's, you know, I've been around a while, so you can't blame people that don't know. And the best way to get these people in shape is to, you know, educate them and inspire them. You can't make them feel stupid. You can't be like, oh, what are you, fucking dumb? You can't do that. You know, you got to be like, you know, hey, I understand this is how it's been. This is what you know. But let me tell you some stories. Let me teach you some facts. Let me explain what foods do when they hit your stomach. Let me explain to you that your body's, you know, 95% bacteria, and you need to keep that bacteria positive. You know, there's a whole another living system within our systems that nobody even fucking has a clue about, you know? So you got to educate them.
I think there's so much misinformation out there when it comes to nutrition. I agree with you completely. But I think what's even more depressing is the fact that 2/3 of Americans don't know how to cook. And when I say cook, I mean like simple things like bake chicken breast, make rice. I had a friend last week not know how to tell if the water was boiling. Like this is just a friend from church. So I'm not charging them or anything like that. I'm just giving them some simple advice, right? And this is just someone's trying to lose weight. So I said like, hey, you can make a really simple meal, buy some brown rice pasta, you know, have some lettuce with it and maybe some chicken breast. So he calls me and he's like, so I got the water for the pot, like you said, how do I know when it's boiling? And this was a serious question. And it almost broke my heart because that's the norm now is people have no idea how to cook. And I feel a big problem of that is that it's not taught in the school system. If you go home, kids aren't taught by their parents how to cook. They're not taught in school how to cook. So you can't really blame them because no 10-year-old is going to go to the kitchen and start, you know, playing with knives and pots and things like that. And if you look at different cultures, like if you look at the Japanese culture, they have a mandatory cooking class from kindergarten to grade 12.
Yeah, I think it should be, you know, and when I was in junior high, which was way back in the, you know, 80s, it was mandatory to take home economics in seventh grade. And it taught you how to literally clean, cook, sew, you know, everything to be a homemaker. So, and I don't even know if those classes exist anymore, but I agree with you 100%. This, you know, the simple basic shit needs to be taught in schools.
What's really cool in Japan is that how the lunch program works is that in the morning, you actually make your lunch. So they teach kids how to, you know, get produce out of the fridge, chop it up, clean it, make your lunch, and then, you know, clean the dishes and everything like that. Like they're way ahead of us.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, it's up to people like us to, you know, teach these people and get the word out there. But nobody wants, you know, I think when people get older and they find out they're 250 pounds and they should really weigh about 180, some of them figure out, but some never do. And I don't know about you guys, but what I notice the older I get, when I eat something bad, my body does not agree with it. Like, you know, when you're younger, it goes right through you. When you're older, your stomach bloats up, you got, you know, indigestion, you got gas, and it's just no fun to eat like shit. So
I'm so anal about what I put in my body now. And if I put anything wrong, like I instantly feel it. Like I've learned exactly what I can eat and what exactly I can't. So I agree with that for sure. But a lot of people think that, yeah, I'm eating something and it makes me feel like shit, but hey, you know, my doctor says this is good for me to eat, or my dietitian says this is good for me to eat, or the commercial on TV has, you know, this, they look so happy eating their Papa John's pizza on TV. So, hey, I should eat it. So like, you know, I really feel like, you know, everybody's at fault. The doctors, the dietitians, the diet coaches, the advertisers, everything is kind of like tricking us. And I used to be that type of person. Like I used to go to McDonald's and get a Big Mac because I'd see Michael Jordan on TV eating a Big Mac. Like it works. Marketing works. And, you know, so, I mean, it's one of those things where, yeah, I mean, hopefully people, you know, eventually like grow out of that, like being naive. I used to be that.
Yeah, I think the whole American population, for the most part, is, I mean, you see it every day. Nobody says hi to each other anymore. Everybody's pissed off. You know, it's so intense, and I think a lot of it has to be blamed on is people's diets, because they walk around feeling like shit and they don't even realize it.
I'm in Canada, so everyone here is friendly, smiles all the time, and apologizes too much.
You guys are all eating clean, huh?
No, man, it's the weather. It makes you humble. When it's really so cold that there's warnings not to go outside, it just makes you humble.
Gotcha. Yeah, I don't know. That would be kind of different, being cold year-round.
So, Dylan, being a gym owner, having been working out over 30 years, you've seen it all. What are some of the most common mistakes you see people make in the gym?
You know, just thinking lifting too heavy without, you know, really correcting form, like learning an exercise correctly, a squat, you know, a deadlift or a bench. You know, you see people go down halfway on bench, you see people squat with the bar up on their neck and you know, they're squatting on their toes. They never really learn the true art of form of lifting. And then what happens is they have sore shoulders or sore elbows or sore knees. And, you know, they end up having to, you know, quit because they're injured. So I think if people would really actually learn how to lift correctly, you know, they'd avoid those situations and they'd probably get a lot more, you know, progress out of their workouts.
So for a new lifter, how can they learn proper form? Because the problem we have nowadays, if you go on YouTube and you search how to squat, half the videos are wrong, right? And then you go to the gym, you hire a personal trainer. That personal trainer probably did a weekend course and has been personal training for 3 weeks and really doesn't know what the heck he's doing.
You got to do your homework on people. You got to find out, you know, there's a lot of great trainers out there, and you got to figure out. Oops, starting to rain on me out here, guys. I was sitting on my back patio. Sorry. You have to do your homework on, like, some of the top trainers out there that are, you know, producing great athletes, whether it's a football player, a bodybuilder, a basketball player, and then, you know, you go to their websites or their forums and you watch their videos, because 9 times out of 10, those guys are the ones that are going to teach you the correct way. You just can't open your computer and listen to any Joe Schmo.
Yeah, it kind of goes to my point earlier about, like, blaming the victim. Again, like, someone screws up their knees from squatting. Well, where'd you learn to squat? Well, I went online and I looked at this meathead on YouTube squatting, and the same meathead blew out his hamstring like a few months ago, and he's, you know, squatting with poor form. And these are the people we listen to. So do you think that in my gym, I go to actually a more local gym. It's not a franchise. And I noticed in the past 6 months even, there's been a complete turnover of personal trainers. So in that situation, I'm assuming they're not paying their personal trainer shit. So if you're a good personal trainer, you're probably not going to work there. So, I mean, what would you recommend in that situation? Should someone, is there, what kind of option do you have in that situation?
Well, that's all. I don't know anything about your gym, but I know how the big, you know, corporate gyms run. They're all about making money. They don't give a fuck who comes in and, you know, if they break their back or their top bad form. So they hire these trainers and they pay them like $10, $15 an hour, but yet they're charging $75 to $90 a training session, and they're passing the change onto the trainer, which, you know, is really, you know, anybody, any trainer that's going to work for that kind of change doesn't have any knowledge, let's face it. So you need to, you know, you really need to find, you know, if you want to learn how to work out, you got to do your homework on reputable gyms. Look at, like, you know, stories coming out of them. Look at, like, okay, let me see, you got 10 trainers here. Let me see some bios on them. Let me see what they've accomplished. Let me see who they've worked out. You know, you just don't go in and go, oh, I'm going to get personal training. That's great. You know, and automatically assume they're an expert. You got to do your homework on, yeah, maybe 24-hour fitness or whatever they are, or is a big chain. But that doesn't necessarily mean they're hiring quality people.
A great analogy, Dylan, would be if you just suffered a heart attack, would you just go to any doctor No, you'd want to go see the best specialist, right? And even if you had to drive 45, 50 minutes to go see that specialist, you would do it because you were worried because you just had a heart attack. You wouldn't just go to the closest doctor. So it's the same thing as for our listeners, don't just necessarily go to the closest gym or the most convenient gym. Maybe go to the gym that might be a little bit further away, but you can get a better education, you're going to have better resources, you know, better equipment, better personal trainers.
Exactly. You got to do your homework nowadays, you know, because everybody's out there to make a buck.
It's true. So Dylan, we got about 10 minutes left. The last thing I want to pick your brain on being a contest promoter is, what are your thoughts on the new division and how the sport is headed? It seems like almost no one wants to be a bodybuilder anymore. Like, there's bodybuilding is always going to be there because it's the freak factor. But if you look at all of the young up and coming kids, they all want to do physique. They want to do classic physique. No one really wants to be a bodybuilder anymore.
Well, I think, you know, nobody really likes the look of bodybuilding anymore. I mean, if you're a fan, of course you love to go watch the big guys get after it and stuff. But they're like, I'll be honest with this. I get asked this question a lot. And if you look at the bodybuilders from the 80s, like the Bob Parises, the Barry DeMays, the Lee Haneys, those guys all look like classic physique guys. And to me, I've been to about 10 classic physique pro shows now. And honestly, that's my favorite class now. I love the classic physique because it's more about, you know, it's more about symmetry. There's nothing's all blown out. It's, you know, you got tiny little vacuum waists, and that's what bodybuilding used to be. And that's what I felt passionately, you know, about is that's what I wanted to be. And, you know, I kind of got caught up in it, and, you know, you kind of just go with the sport. Every year they want bigger, every year they want, you know, all this crap, but it's like, they forgot about the true art of the sport, and that's the symmetry, that's the small waist, the big shoulders, the wide lats, you know, the all that's gone now. So I could see where if I was a kid and I was wanting to be something, I'd want to be a classic physique guy, you know, maybe start out in physique just because I'm not big enough yet. Back in the day, you know, you did bodybuilding whether you had chicken legs or not because that's all they had. So I think the kids – and the guys coming up now are just like, you know, I want to look like that, not that. So that would be my analogy.
We just had Isaac Baer on the podcast. He just won his pro card at the Vancouver Pro in classic physique. And the guy has a beautiful physique. Like, it's the definition of classic. Like, tight waist, streamlined physique. Exactly like the physique of, you know, the Arnold days, right? Prior to doing classic physique, he didn't even place top 15 in bodybuilding because he wasn't a freak, right? So it just kind of goes to show you where how the judging standards are in bodybuilding is that the person who just won their pro card, so the person who won their class, won the overall, got their pro card the year before when he did bodybuilding, didn't even get top 15.
Right. Yeah, that's, I mean, bodybuilding's about, you know, some guys are lucky enough, like Phil, the new little guy, Derek Lunsford, you know, they bring, you know, the still bodybuilders, and they still bring, you know, a really pretty physique to the stage. But other than that, you know, there's really, you know, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but there's really nobody out there to be excited about bodybuilding because it's just, I mean, unless you like big, thick waists and, you know, just a physique that's just muscle on top of muscle, like a freak show. I mean, but the classic physique guys, there's a ton of great classic physique guys I'm excited about. There's going to be some great battles. You know, it's, I really think that division is going to take over the sport. That's just my two cents. May not mean shit, but that's just what I think.
So Dylan, you know, before we wrap up, I really want you to plug your website and your gym too. I know it was your gym, I'm on there. You have some really impressive personal trainers that have a long list of like competitions and stuff. So your gym is definitely above and beyond anything that, you know, is out there. So a lot of our listeners that maybe were to live in Colorado really they should definitely check out your gym. But before you do, let me ask you this. What is a one or two things you would want to change about bodybuilding to kind of get it, you know, more popular for other, you know, kind of spread the range a little bit to get it more out there. So more people get interested in it, basically.
You know, that's a really tough question. I think, you know, the classic physique, I think, you know, the figure, I think the men's 212 is good. You know, I'm not a marketing expert by any means. Otherwise, I probably would have made a lot more money off my gym than I already have. But they got to figure it out. They got to bring more money to the sport somehow. You know, they got to get TV involved so they can get the audiences expand. Because, you know, still most Americans sit behind their TVs. So, you know, you got to get it on TV somehow. That would be about it.
I was going to say maybe like a personality, like someone like Arnold, who has this huge personality, can kind of excite things. Because it's like every sport, like basketball, we have LeBron James, you know, and football, we've got, you know, Tom Brady. It's like every sport has this big name that draws people. So I think it's missing that big name.
No, because, Steve, we have personalities. We have, like, Kai Greene. You know, he's a personality. We have Phil Heath. He's kind of like the champion people love to hate. What I think is, and I think the problem bodybuilding really isn't succeeding very well, is I think they're going at it all wrong. If you look at the NFL, the NBA, who are the biggest sponsors? It's Nike, it's Adidas, it's Powerade. These are massive multi-billion dollar companies that will throw, you know, $500 million in advertising and not even think twice about it. Who do we have sponsoring these bodybuilding shows? It's small supplement companies, you know, Optimum Nutrition, Muscle Farm, things like that. I think in order to get bodybuilding in the mainstream, we need to start getting some mainstream sponsors, things like Adidas, Reebok, Nike.
I'd agree with that. You know, I think that's a really good point. You know, you got Reebok throwing tons of money at CrossFit right now, and, you know, good for them, but, you know, fuck, bodybuilders work just as hard as CrossFit. If they're going to just say it's a thing about steroids, I mean, CrossFitters take just as much shit as bodybuilders, sorry guys, but they do, especially those guys in the Reebok games. They're all on tons of shit.
I'm going to say one more thing and I'm going to let you plug your stuff. I agree with you completely. And the thing is what people don't realize is they're taking just as much drugs. They're just taking different drugs. That's right. The thing, right? And it's kind of like when someone else could say, oh, at electronic music, it's all just drugs and drugs. There's just as much drugs in a Metallica concert. They're just doing different types of drugs. They're not popping Molly. Instead, they're doing coke. They're drinking alcohol. If they're really hardcore, they may be doing things like heroin, right? So it's like, at CrossFit, those guys probably aren't running like crazy doses of Tren because that would kill their endurance, but they're using tons of SARMs, tons of GH, tons of anabolics that don't cause water retention. So yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, that's another good point. Yeah, you know, you need to maybe get a job with the IFBB and, you know, tell them you can make them some money or something.
Trevor's going to start his own federation.
No,
he will. He's
stupid. There's too many federations as it is right now. It's stupid.
Yeah. So Dylan, tell us about, you know, again, how can people get in touch with you? How can people learn about your personal training, and where can people find out about your gym? What's the website?
Well, our website is armbrustprogym.com. Very simple. It's armbrustprogym. Then .com. We are also Armbrust Pro Gym on Facebook and Instagram. My personal website is dylanarmbrust@live.com. And, you know, you can message me on any of those and I'd be happy to get back to you. The one I probably least go to the most is our website, though. You know, with social media now and everything and emails, I mean, it's pretty much taken over all the websites.
Dylan's really easy to get a hold of on Facebook. So if you want to reach out to him for personal training, just send him a message on Facebook and he answers pretty quick.
Yeah.
Dylan, we really appreciate you coming on the show. This is a really great episode. For your host, Trevor Kuritzen, for my co-host, Steve Smee, and for our special guest, Dylan Armbrust of Armbrust Pro Gym, This has been another episode of Evolutionary Radio. Live your life, look good doing it. Thanks for listening. Thank you.